And now, here's the host of the Sports Hub, David Tewksbury.
Glad to be with you. Happy Wednesday. Happy Hub Day. Happy Hump Day, I suppose, if you prefer. Or as the South Dakotans around these parts, they say, well, I suppose. Yeah, good to be with you indeed here on FSA. I have certainly graduated that into my lexicon. There's no two ways about it. You kind of get into a conversation with somebody, and then you kind of circle the wagons a little bit. You've covered everything that needs to be covered. Then you get that little piece of downtime, and then all of a sudden you drop a, well, I suppose, and, yep. And that's officially the moment when you know you are officially a South Dakotan, right, Matt?
Yes.
Have you ever done that before?
I've never said it, I suppose.
No, give me an I suppose.
No.
Not I suppose, but an I suppose. Big difference.
Yeah. I don't think I have, then. I'm not paying attention.
Well, you're clearly not a real South Dakotan. You know,
I know the saying, because I'd never heard that until I moved out here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Or a say. People do a say from time to time. You know, talk to somebody on the phone and, hey, can you connect me with Joe Smith? And Joe Smith, hey, good to talk with you, Steve. And, hey, Joe, I was thinking about the game the other day, and, say, I realized that so-and-so dropped 40 points. You know, a say. You know, anytime you can slip a say in there, that makes me happy.
Yes, that's good stuff.
It puts a smile on my face, you know? It's the little things. It's the little things. All right, it is a Sports Hub edition of These Fair Airwaves. So, of course, a daily sports talk show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. It is a Wolves midweek installment of the show. And we're talking some Northern State swimming and diving. Keely, I believe it's Lacina, will be joining us coming up in about 10 to 15 minutes alongside Caden Huntrods, a couple of the coaches there from the Northern State swimming and diving squads. Looking forward to those discussions with those folks there. And also towards the bottom of the hour, some Northern State basketball chat with head coach Paula Kruger as they get all primed up and ready to go for I Hate Winter weekend. As the latest poll just dropped yesterday, MSU Mankato, or Minnesota State, as they like to be affectionately.
MSUM.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what they want to be called as. Nevertheless, they are the sixth squad in all the land. So the Mavericks, again, undefeated, unblemished record in conference play. They bring their number six-ranked team into the Hub City coming up on Friday night.
We were looking at it yesterday, and they score a ton of points.
Yeah, they
have to score a lot to keep up with them. They're either in the 80s, a couple games in the 90s. They're just such a solid team, and well, their last conference loss, I believe, was to NSU here at home last year, right?
That's correct. Absolutely. I believe it was February the 4th. I got to double-check the exact date. Maybe it was the 5th. But the last time Northern State played Mankato, it went the way of the Wolves. That was, I think, if memory serves correctly, the final home weekend of basketball there for NSU last year at the BC. It was an unforgettable weekend, and 92-87 was the final score there. And let me check the exact date. It was February the 17th, so I was off by 2 weeks. But yeah, Mankato, at the time, they were 14th in the country, so now they're 8 spots better. And don't kid yourself for a second. They remember losing here. I mean, there's some new players on that team, don't get me wrong, but they probably have kind of a sour taste in their mouth a little bit, and they want to say, all right, we're better than that last year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You're going to have to bring your A game against that team, because if you're off, they're going to take advantage, and they score at will. So you're going to have to match the scoring that they have, and you're going to have to be in a track meet. Northern State won that track meet last year. I mean, 92-87. That's a high-scoring game there at the BC last year.
I remember saying this to Paula Kruger post-game. If you would have told me that you're going to surrender 87 points, you're going to turn the ball over 24 times against that team, you're probably thinking, oh boy, this is not going to end out so well. But they won the game. So it's kind of those differences between live ball turnovers and dead ball turnovers. You know, you throw a pass to somebody, ball goes out of bounds. You can deal with that. Live ball turnovers, you turn the ball over, the other team gets it going back the other way for an easy layup. Those are the ones you got to avoid. And to a degree, it's kind of like that with Aberdeen Central and O'Gorman last night. We saw, I think, a Central team really kind of hang tough with O'Gorman. We'll talk about that here in just a second with my main man,
Mr. Unlimited,
here on FSA as we get to the jump. But that's one thing you got to avoid against the Mavericks on Friday night is the live ball turnovers, because they'll just take it right back the other way.
Yep, man, that's exactly kind of what we saw last night, like you said, Tukes, with O'Gorman. Those teams are just so good at that part of the game, and they are so good at taking advantage. I feel like when teams make a mistake, they capitalize off of those mistakes. And that's where teams, I think, are separated from top to bottom.
That's where we're going here today on The Jump. It's a local installment of it. And we're talking some Aberdeen Central girls' hoops from last night against O'Gorman. My two cents is, I think you hit the nail on the head. You said this on the broadcast. I think the Golden Eagles can play with just about anybody in Class AA. I mean, O'Gorman is the cream of the crop. 30-plus straight wins, undefeated season last year, state champion. They're off to an incredible start here this season as well. This final score is not as indicative of how close the game felt like. 71-56, your final score there, as the Golden Eagles, they lose by 15 points, but I think, not to be Pollyanna guy, but there's a lot of really good things you can take from this game if I'm a Golden Eagle fan.
Well, we had Peyton Burkhard on the post game late night, and she really did a good job of explaining that right there. A lot of positives to take away from that one last night. She liked the fight. She liked the effort. The team just struggled in certain spots of the game. Now, you hear about, like, the middle eight in football.
Yeah.
The middle part of the second quarter is when things started to unravel a little bit, and the start to third. They battled back at the end of the third and the start to the fourth. But there's a lot of things you can take away. They got pretty good balance. I mean, you look at the stats. Burkhard Hermanson with 16. Dorr had 10. Kennedy Withers had 8. You really got good balance, but you can't make those kinds of mistakes. If you're going to turn the ball over, I said this on the pregame, if you could be around the 10 to 15 mark, you got a really good chance. They were at 22, 16 of those were in the first half. And like we said to start the show, if you give those teams opportunities, they're going to take advantage. And you know how I'm a big, there's levels to this. O'Gorman's just on a different level.
Yeah, differential there, 22-9 in terms of turnovers. Central, of course, like you mentioned there with the 22. Golden Eagles did force 9 in that one. But there was a moment in this game that I thought the Golden Eagles had a really good chance to make a move, and I think I even shot a text message to you as it happened. I think they're down 16. Lauren Burkhard gets a shot to fall. They get a steal. Burkhard hits a 3, 5-0 run. You get it down to 11. It's kind of the old NBA jam. She's heating up. And then the next thing you know, O'Gorman, they can a 3 to make it back up to 14.
Yep.
And it just felt like if they would have had one more stop in them there to knock it down from 11-9 or 11-8, then things can get kind of interesting going into the fourth quarter. But they just had that big crucial 3 that ticked that lead back up to 14 points. It just felt like that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back to me.
Sydney Trevine had a big second half. She hit that 3. And there were moments in that game where it felt like the Golden Eagles were right there to get it within single digits, and then O'Gorman would hit a 3. I think Mooney hit a 3 as well in a big spot in the second half. So I went back, watched the game last night even, and just was trying to figure out what kind of hurt them. And I think it was just not – they did a good job against the press, but there were moments where they struggled, and – those came with quick baskets the other way from O'Gorman. And I thought Peyton Burkhard named it or nailed it on the pregame show. O'Gorman isn't overly big, but they're lengthy and they're athletic. They're long and athletic, and they can run that press. They could put three of your tall girls up at the front. They also double the wings a ton. And I don't think the Golden Eagles were really ready for that double on the wing because they were holding it a little bit too much, and that forced some mistakes. But like you said, they can play with anybody in AA. I think they proved that, and it doesn't get any easier because you got Olivia Padgett and Brandon Valley coming up on Saturday. That team is young. A lot of sophomores from last year's team now are juniors. And they are 8-1 as well, so it doesn't get any easier for them on Saturday.
Yeah, they're a really good club. If you can go through this two-game stretch 1-1, you'll certainly take that, no doubt about it. And the way they play the game kind of sort of reminds me of, ironically enough, we're talking Mankato a little earlier, they kind of remind me of Dakota State, the Dakota State women's basketball team, when they had Savannah Walsdorf and Elsie Osleis, and they had these girls that are like 5'11", 6', 6'1", not the biggest, I mean, still taller, but their wingspan was just so long and lanky and lengthy. It's just tough to get past them. And you want to talk about a mindset that requires a different mindset to play 94 feet for, in this case, 32 minutes. And when you play that way, as Michael Jordan says, well, you know, don't play that way. If you want to play that way, then, you know, whatever. But I don't know. I really like that style of play. If you got the horses to do it, you know, certainly ride them across the finish line.
That's what Kent Colesrew has. He's got the horses to do it. And they had All-State players last year. Lucy Moore was an All-State player. Mm-hmm. She's now at Northern. Her sister, Ruby Moore, incredible first half last night. She dropped 16 points in the first half. And Coach Burkhardt was happy with the defense on her in the second. She didn't score in the second half. And that's a positive right there.
Yeah, you'll take a lot of the positives from this game. There's no two ways about it. A really good growth mark for Aberdeen Central there last night. Also on the girls' side of things last night, Annika Mueller drops in 21 as Falkton defeats Aberdeen Christian 55-17. Riley Dunker with 10 as Groton edges Northwestern at home 42-20. Flandreau doubles up Duel 50-25. Milbank was all over Wabe Summit 67-36. Other matchups of note, Hamlin gets 17 from Izzy Stephenson, I believe it's pronounced, over DeSmet, 59-34, your final score there. North Central clips Ipswich 50-42 behind 17 from Amory Vandervoorst. And also future Northern State Wolf, Reagan Russ, has 16 as MVP, defeats Redfield 45-25. Check out HubCityRadio.com for more details there. On the boys' side of things, Central, a shorthanded squad. No Brendan Phillips for them last night. They fall to O'Gorman, 61-41. Colby Dowen had 15 in the loss. Aberdeen Christian gets 16 from Brooks Jett and 9 from basically everybody else on the team. They defeat Falkton 65-48. And 1-2, we had this one circled on our calendars for a long time, and it looked like it lived up to the billing. 1-2. Castlewood gets past Del Rapids St. Mary 63-59. Brody Bass with 20. Brian Lowy, 19 points, 23 rebounds. Trayvon Beckman had 27 in the loss for DRSM. Would not be shocked to see both of those teams in the not-too-distant future play each other. Maybe right here in Aberdeen, we'll see.
And you said it yesterday when we were talking about this game briefly. Do you have anybody to counteract with Lowy? You didn't. 23 rebounds. That's a big-time double-double.
No doubt about that, as Castlewood, they pick up the four-point victory there on the road, which is which is even more impressive, I would say. Jackson Wadsworth with 20, as Hamlin was all over DeSmet, 88-47. Grant Wilkinson had 20 there in the loss for the Bulldogs. High school wrestling as well, the Kimball-White Lake Try, Sisseton Try, and Clarkwood Lake Try. Check out our website, HubCityRadio.com, for full and complete details there. We're getting into the meat of our Wolves midweek. We're talking some Northern States swimming when we return on FSA. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at HubCityRadio.com. Talking some Northern States swimming here live in studio. Caden Huntrod's the head coach, and GA Keely Lacina joins us here as well. I got that right. I got that right, correct?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, all good.
All right, very, very good. Joining us here live in studio. You guys battling the Great White North out there. You said it's not that terrible outside, right?
No, it's nice. It's trying to snow a little bit, but
yeah,
compared
nice little
to negative 20, we'll take it.
Yeah, we were talking as you came into the studio. You were talking about there's an opportunity maybe in the not-too-distant future to head down to Florida, and we're talking like, hey, can you imagine the girls getting ready to hit the beach, hit the pool and all that good stuff, and hey, guess what? We got 35 degrees and snow outside.
Yeah, I don't think they would be game for that. Like, all right, let's go back home.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Let's go back on the plane.
Certainly not an ideal situation, that's for sure. Well, let's talk some swimming here a little bit. You guys with a weekend meet, if you will, this last weekend. How did everything go? I know you guys came up on the shorter side of things, but a lot of positives to take from that one.
Yeah, it went really well. We were talking about how like they were chasing each other. They were rooting for each other. Just overall team experience was a really good job. From the mile, relays, individual races, it was, or 1,000, just really good races in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's phenomenal to see. Their technique is really pulling through. They're fast off the blocks. They're getting into their turns. And just coming off of a really heavy two-week training period in our winter Christmas break, it's nice to see them being able to hold the splits that they're doing right now when they're getting off the block. So they're doing great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, against that, or in that meet, if you will, versus Minnesota State, you had a couple 13 top three finishes during the weekend, so I mean that's just huge for your program late in the season, right?
Yep, absolutely. Haley won both of her individuals. Abigail was right there with the 1,000 and the 500. really, like, when you look at the points, it's one of those interesting things. Like, it looks like it was a loss by, like, 70-something points. But when you really look at it, you're neck and neck on almost every single race. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're looking for, is being competitive now, because we'll start tapering here in a couple of weeks. And that's where we really start seeing them shine. So they're doing well now when they're tired. This past week, we were doing 10,000 meters a day,
right,
with doubles and weights. So you guys came out of that to just thrive. Mm-hmm. So we'll start tapering. Yeah.
So the wife and I went to a meet, what was that, early November, back mm-hmm. at the Y. Yep.
Okay.
And it was our first time that we had been to anything. And I think Matt, not to put words in his mouth, but we are very much newbies when it comes to swimming and what have you. We're learning, you know, new things every time we have, you know, you in studio here. Mm-hmm. One thing that we did not understand was the scoring in general. Like, mm-hmm. you would think zero being a bad score, like 10 being a good score. We thought we saw a lot of great diving, and we're like, boy, that's got to be a 9. That's got to be a 10. That's not the case. Can you kind of break down scoring? Because it feels like it's kind of complicated to a degree.
It is. So diving, the scoring can be very individualized by the judge themselves, but you're looking at their approach, how clean their entry is. Are they hitting that straight line as they enter? And some of it just comes down to the coaching staff. So we always look at it from the standpoint of, okay, can I improve that by 6 points? Well, then it should be a 4. Can I improve that by 5 points? Well, then it should be a 5. But then even with that, you might have a judge that goes, I really just didn't like that dive, didn't like that approach. So yeah, it's really selective on that. It's my only hardship with diving. It's a beautiful sport. Absolutely love it. But it always comes back to the judging piece. And like, I wish it was a computer that could judge that. But even with that, JC did amazing. Mm-hmm. She got her 11 dive score to qualify for nationals. So you have to get your 11 dive score and then your 6 dive score to go to nationals. So she's got the first check mark. Now we got to get the second check mark.
Gotcha. So it sounds kind of like it's diving's more like a judgment type of thing mm-hmm. than actually, you know, somebody, you know what I mean? Kind yep. of like a judgment mm-hmm. type thing than something different, right?
Yep. Right, done very similar to gymnastics.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I always use Shawn Johnson in the 2008 Olympics, where she was the first person to go, and she did kind of a basic performance on the beam, but then everybody else that went after her did more complicated but failed a lot of their stuff. Shawn Johnson didn't get as good of a score because she was the first one to go. So sometimes it pays off to be the last person. And typically, if you are the top in prelims, you want to go last. So that way they could see everybody else, and then they get to see you really rock it.
So this is kind of a dumb question, but I'm good with those. Coaches, you know, they watch film. They, you know, prepare for, you know, the event. Obviously, in your case, you're preparing mostly for yourself in terms of diving anyway. But can you, like, watch tape on judges and stuff like that to say, okay, well, this judge really doesn't like this? Like, do you have an open dialogue with judges before an event starts? Or is that kind of not a thing? I mean, how does that even kind of shake out?
I don't think they really do that very much. Jerry Madden, our coach for diving, for him, it's very much he knows how he wants to judge it. He's very traditional in that. And they'll talk back and forth as they're judging about, well, I like this, I didn't like that. But we don't have our divers change for certain judges just because, well, what if they aren't at that meet? So we try to have them stay very true to themselves and how they dive. Kind of the same thing with the individual in swimming. We might know that, hey, this miler is going to go out like a bat out of hell at the start and just try to get as much distance as they can. We can't have one of our swimmers do that. That's not how we train them, where they're hitting for consistency. So they're going to catch up to them half a mile down the road, or, you know, 700 meters down the road. So really it's just very much individual on them.
Going back to the swimming things, I see here Haley Osborne, like what you mentioned, the open there, she had 2 first place finishes in the 200 free and the 100 free. What do you see in particular in that, plus, you know, her season as a whole here?
I'll let you go for that.
Well, she's fighting for it. She has come into the office multiple times, and she's always talking about wanting to make this season her best. Obviously, they've come out with that 5th year, but she is graduating right now, and so her plan is to put her all into the pool this season, and that's what she's reflecting in all of her races. You'll see her battling it out. She gets the person next to her, and she knows that she needs to hit that wall before them, and so she's putting in the training hours for it.
That's the voice of Keeley Lucina. We're also joined alongside by Caden Huntrods here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, talking some Northern State swimming and diving. Keeley, I want to talk about you a little bit here. Kind of an interesting, how do I describe this? Best way to describe it as transition from Bismarck now down to Aberdeen. You're a UMary gal.
Yes.
Was it kind of weird becoming a Northern State Wolf?
It's weird because I'm still in the NSIC, and yeah. So competing for, coaching for a different team that's in the same conference is a little tricky, and it's fun being on the same pool decks as with them because we do compete against UMary a lot, but I wouldn't really want to be anywhere else. It's nice as a beginner coach to start learning in this division because I do have those contacts and I know the girls on each team now. So just a little more personalized.
Do you kind of like push some of your old teammates in the pool or something like that during a meet? Just like, hey, I'll be here all day.
No, but it's fun to watch them. Not too many of the girls that I used to swim with are still on UMary, and so just a few of them are graduating now, and it's exciting to get to watch them finish it out from on deck.
Mm-hmm. Kind of to piggyback off of Tuke's question, did you always know you wanted to get into coaching after? What was kind of, I guess, your process there?
I just left a position. I was a marketing manager for a retail store. And I just kind of hit a whole life, I wouldn't call it a midlife crisis, but I hit a whole thing where I dove into my faith and I realized that, you know, I had been coaching club back in Bismarck and I loved it. Just seeing the kids thrive and being able to be there to help them become a better athlete. I was like, okay, like this is my come to Jesus moment. Like I need to follow and through this. And what level do I want to get serious with? And so that's what brought me out here to Northern. And then I had started talking with Caden and I was like, okay, I'll make the jump. I'll do the college coaching. And now, I mean, I want to be in it forever. But it's phenomenal. It's a great world to be in.
Yeah, probably have to have a couple of gray hairs to have a midlife crisis.
Yeah, probably. I really hope so.
I would know on that one. Yeah. But Caden Huntrod's here as well. And the last time we had you in studio, you were talking about the very early stages of the season with a lot of the girls kind of looking up at the boards to see, hey, you know, I think I can knock off that record. Mm-hmm. I can knock off that record. How's that been going so far?
It's going good. JC obliterated scores this year. Haley's still looking at the record board. Abigail's looking at the record board. We still have them looking at it. They're like, I want that record. The commits that we have coming in, they did the same thing. They walked in, and it's fun. They watch practice a little bit, but they keep on looking up at the board. Like, okay, I think I can go after that one. I can go after that one. I like that one. Like, that's what we want. And so the fact that we keep that up, even when they're really tired, they're still going for those records. So it's pretty exciting. We like it.
Right on. And that's all a mindset thing, right, Coach? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's, you know, a mindset, hey, I want it, I want this record, I want this, rather absolutely. Than, you know, hey, this would be cool if I could get it, right?
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. They're tough. They're ready to go for it. We had a team meeting this past week where just like, guys, like, I know you're sore. I know you're tired. You just got done doing 10,000 yards a day or 10,000 meters a day, like, you can't do all of that and still be here unless you want it. And like, so you have to want it. Do we want it? And the next about 15 minutes of practice, they just went after it. It was great. They were being aggressive. They were fighting for it. And we just were carrying that momentum from that. So mm-hmm. they want those times.
I feel like you guys have a very unique schedule in the fact that, you know, in football, you're playing every Saturday, you know, in basketball, mm-hmm. it's every Friday and Saturday. But for swimming, it's kind of different. You know, you've got a couple of weeks off here and there, then you're on again, you're off again. So how does everyone kind of stay mentally locked in for that long of a season? Because it is a long season. It's more of a it's not a sprint. It very much is a marathon.
Mm-hmm. I think we talked really deeply on that at the very beginning of the season. It's all about goal setting, and it's all about creating that mindset. And the girls, they had to sit down and go through that list of what am I really here for? Because swimming is one of the longest seasons that you have in athletics. And so if you don't want it, showing up on the pool deck every day is going to be horrible. You're there early in the morning. And so it's really just creating your goals and going out and achieving them. And I mean, having a little fun on the way there too. I mean, you get to hang out with your teammates every single day. And I mean, I think we're fun coaches to hang out with too, but I don't know.
She's probably more fun than I am.
do you guys do like the hot foot in baseball? You know, baseball's got the hot foot. Matt's a big baseball guy. Both of us are. Are you guys familiar with the hot foot?
Uh-uh. Totally lost.
Matt, would you like to explain the hot foot? Do you know what the hot foot is?
I don't think I've heard that term.
Oh, my gosh. Nobody knows what the hot foot is?
I mean, you might, if you explain it, maybe I could.
You know, it's like where you got a little piece of, like, cloth or something on someone's heel.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Isn't that what it's called, hot foot?
Yeah.
And they light it on fire?
Yeah. I was thinking more of, like, the hot chair. Like, you know, yeah. You've seen the people do that with the chair. You sit down.
I mean, we're surrounded by water.
Yeah, I mean, if there is a place to do it, it's probably in the pool.
Okay, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, I think it's called the hot foot. I got to Google that.
So essentially games, like playing some games. Yeah, what do they do? Oh. We'll play water polo. Mm-hmm.
We haven't done our annual water polo match with wrestling, so we got to get that going. Hopefully when we get out of season, and volleyball wants to do that as well. But even in the middle of winter training, we did a glow-in-the-dark practice where we got I think I had like 200 or 300 light sticks out and everything. We had glasses for them that lit up and had some fun with that. We did a Hawaiian day where we have a giant surfboard that we kind of hooked up straps to them and pulled them across the pool. And
yeah, they get some fun stuff in. They do a lot of team bonding with movie nights and things. So on that Hawaiian night, they went upstairs and watched Leo and Stitch. It's just, you know, keeping their heads out of the water sometimes is also really good.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, before we get you guys out of here, you've got another one coming up this week. I believe it's SMSU is on tap. Yeah. What's on tap for that one and kind of your expectations for that meet?
Yeah, it's going to be – so it'll be SMSU and Augie. Augie just got added. It's going to be a long list of events, so it'll be 16 events. So it'll be good. JC's going to try to get her six-dive score. It'll be an 11-dive meet, but you can qualify your six-dive if you have the score within that. But we're going to get up and race. The ladies haven't seen Augie this year, so they want to get up and race them. Same thing with SMSU. We just want to get up and go after it. I think that we'll have the hundreds of stroke and the 50s of stroke, so they get to sprint. And they like that. They especially love the 50s of stroke because they almost never get to do that unless they're on a relay. So get up, race, and then they're going to be getting ready for I Hate Winter. So they're excited for I Hate Winter. That's like, okay, we're going to get back, we're going to get ready, we're going to have a good time at I Hate Winter. I'm like, guys, just have a blast. Mm-hmm. Carry that energy on Friday, you know, just start that energy there. We're going to have a little bit of stuff for them for I Hate Winter there, and then we're going to carry that into Saturday.
Yeah, I'm bringing it to the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, best of luck this upcoming weekend there on the road. Appreciate you doing this, and congratulations on a good start to the – well, not start to the season, but middle end of the season, and continued success, I guess.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
You got it.
For having
us. Our pleasure. Yeah, there you go. Absolutely. Coming up next on the show, we're talking some Northern State women's basketball. Head coach Paula Kruger. She'll join us live in studio after this. Sports Hub continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Our thanks to the Northern State swimming coaches joining us here live in studio as we play tag as head coach Paula Kruger here in the HKG Architecture Broadcasting booth. We'll go with that. Why not? Coach, thanks for popping in. How are you?
Fantastic. And how are you guys?
Great.
Living the dream.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong. It's I Hate Winter weekend.
What is going on with all this Viking stuff? Why have I not noticed that before? Aren't you a Seahawks guy?
Yeah, but we're in Vikings territory, I guess.
Oh.
He's a Ravens fan.
I know. So I don't, well, I got it. I mean, it's...
Our boss is also a Vikings fan. So.
I guess I just never noticed it before, but we all got to cheer for somebody.
Yeah. Well, now we've got no stress football for the last couple weeks, you know? All of our teams are not in.
I'm all in on the Bills because there's just 0% chance I can watch Philly and Kansas City play in it. It's so painful to cheer for either one of Philly or Washington. Like, oh, as a Cowboys fan, that's like yanking your teeth out without Novocaine. But
well, it was 49ers and Rams a couple of years ago. I don't think I watched that NFC Championship game. It was awful.
Oh, we did because my husband's a 49er fan. But it'll be the best Super Bowl ever because I won't care at all.
Yeah.
So it will solely be about commercials.
Okay.
And halftime.
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday. Kendrick Lamar for halftime this year. I don't have a lot of juice for that. You're a very eclectic music fan.
Well,
you like everything.
I have to be because if you've ever walked into the gym, we might have Shania Twain playing one day and then followed by Celine, then some rap from people that I don't know, and then some 80s tune somewhere, and then the girls will be singing. Oh, what was it? They were singing something the other day. It was from the 70s, and I was like, what is going on? But it's, yeah, you never know what you're going to get with that crew. I love it. Keeps me on my toes.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 94.5 is going to be your new station because that's the vault. We got all sorts of stuff.
I love 94.5. I listen to it all the time.
Are we recording this? Can we cut this?
I love the vault. My brother-in-law called
me one day
and he said, are you listening to 94.5 And I said, what is that? And he said, it's a new radio station, The Vault. You're going to love it. So I started to listen. Then I texted my friend Dave. They started to listen. It's now a station on my husband's. I love The Vault. Love it.
I think we're done here.
Yeah.
We're good here. All right. Perfect. I love it. Thanks for popping in. Happy weekend. And
you guys
good luck.
Have a great day.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, let's talk some hoops here. A solid weekend for you guys on the road there against USF there after the shortcoming against SMSU. And we're talking about a little bit post-game. And my third key to the game was guts. And, you know, that game could kind of gone one of two ways after a tough one there on Friday. But I think that's a really quality win for you guys against a really solid team. How do you kind of unpack that one?
Well, first, let me backtrack to Friday night. In 31 years of coaching, I have never seen a performance like what Bree Stoltzman put on. Hats off to her. I mean, she made some things. Like, you go back and watch, and out of her 41 points, there were easily, I would say, 14 to 16 of those that were shots that I would have told my kids, if she makes those, we got to give them to her. And she made those. So she just does so many other things well, and she was National Player of the Week for a reason, and very well earned. And I'm a competitor, and she plays so hard, and she's a bull in a china shop. So, Bree, if you hear this again, that's a compliment coming from me. Tom Webb, if you hear it, it's the same. She just single-handedly found a way to will her team, you know, to win. And you know, you go to a place there, and you're down by 19 at halftime, and you chip away, chip away, chip away, and we just could not stop her, and it wasn't because our kids weren't trying. You know, I mean, the way that we had three or four different people try to defend her, and she's just got such amazing body control and strength that she can create contact, absorb it, not lose her spot, but you lose yours, and then you're on your heels. And so it's they're a tough team for us to play. It's a unique matchup because of the style that they play. And, you know, the one thing about this team is, especially, I think it was Michaela, when you just had her on Pack Check, talked about when you lose on Friday, you don't have time to really wallow because you got to play on Saturday. And while it might be sometimes considered a negative because it's back-to-back and you don't have time to recoup and rest and all those kinds of things, you don't have time to wallow either. And so in that way, it's kind of a positive. And, you know, we went into Sioux Falls and they'd won four in a row. We kind of took a little bit different approach than some other teams had. We decided that we were going to play one-on-one in the paint. And we were going to do everything we could to make Wadsworth earn her points because she's that good. But we couldn't let them have 8, 9, 10 threes, which in the last four games they'd had 10, 13, 9, and something else, and they won. And we're like, you can't give them those. You got to make them take tough twos. And, you know, that was our goal. They played well, and then in the fourth quarter, arguably the best point total fourth quarter we've had because we had 30. I don't know if I can say it's the best fourth quarter, but certainly one of the best that we've had just in being able to get to the free throw line, knocking down shots. I really thought that you saw, you know, in the first half, Elena Beneke carried us. And then she got in some foul trouble and had to sit some of the third quarter. And then at the end of the game, they fouled her and she, you know, she made her free throws. But prior to that, I really thought that Rio and Maddie kind of took over for a stretch in the fourth quarter that gave us the juice to get the lead and then to never turn around and look back.
Yeah. Yeah, great win there on Saturday, especially coming off that game on Friday, right, Coach? Is that kind of a situation where you just got to shake that, you know, Stoltzman's hand, say, hey, you beat us, you got to move on, you know, with the quick turnaround the next night?
Yeah, you know, we went into the locker room afterward, and just what we talked about is, you know, it's very rare that one person can set a team on its ear. It usually takes, you know, if you let somebody get theirs, then you got to shut everybody else off. And, you know, the person, we didn't shut enough off on the outside. We did in the second half, and you saw us make a comeback, but in the first half, you know, they had seven made threes, I think, six or seven, and they're already, you know, our goal was to hold them to six or seven. So they've already achieved that in the first half. And, you know, if somebody ends up, and I wouldn't say we gave them to her, she earned a lot of those. But when somebody scores, you know, 40 on you, you got to pretty much hold everybody else to single digits. And unfortunately, you know, we didn't do that early and we gave some other people some looks, but you know, sometimes you got to look at somebody and say, man, it was good defense, but that was better offense. And you won the game, you know? And so, you know, we play them again. It'll be another fun battle. They've always been a unique matchup for us. It's one of the tougher ones for us in the league, just a different style than what we play. And I respect the heck out of Tom Webb. He's been one of my best friends in coaching for a long time. So you get to go in and that one and just be like, man, we got beat today. And so many of our other games, I felt like we beat ourselves. And in that game, it was like, we got beat. And to me, I hate losing, don't get me wrong, but that is a more acceptable feeling, I guess, if you can find a term, than it is to know that you had control of winning the game and you simply didn't do your job. And in that situation, they had control of the game for most of the game. And we fought like heck to make it a game, to give ourselves a chance in the end to win. And so you move on from that. It's a little easier, I think, to move on from that than it is from, you know, something like Wayne, where you had a lead the whole game and you don't get it done. Or, you know, St. Cloud, you have it tied and you miss and they go down and now you got a foul. You know, those kinds of things. Or Kearney, where the game is tied and, you know, you have a couple turnovers and all of a sudden now it's a 4-point game. Those are harder for me to swallow, and I'm sure for our players the same. But quite honestly, we don't dwell on it. My assistants will pull a few clips out of the film. I'll watch it, and I usually video it in on my phone, what I want them to see, and I send it. But we don't go back and pick it apart and dissect it and really – we just try to keep moving forward, but learning from what we did by taking small pieces and doing that. And that works for us. Some people are big into watching a lot of it, and once I have a nasty taste in my mouth, I don't really want to go back and sit in the nastiness for a very long period of time because it keeps me in that space. I'm not emotionally intelligent enough to move on from that if I've continued to put the crap in my mouth. So we moved past it, went to Saturday, got a good win. On Saturday, kids played their tails off. I thought it was definitely a gutsy performance. And I'm, you know, we're now it's going to take a lot of guts this weekend too.
Yeah, there's no two ways about it. And I told Tom Webb I thought it was an error on his part after the game. I thought he probably should have rested her in the second half. I didn't think – I thought that was completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
He got a chuckle out of that too. You got time for another segment?
Sure.
Okay, perfect. Let's take a quick break right here and right now. More with head coach Paula Kruger after this. Sports Up continues on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5 with head coach – Paula Kruger, alongside Matt McClure and David Tewksbury, during a Wolves midweek installment of the show. And we're going to talk about the Mavericks coming up for Friday for I Hate Winter. But, you know, there's a reason why I reached out to you. Of course, not only the fact that you're playing this weekend, but I figured that you would share a fun but radio-appropriate I Hate Winter story.
Wow.
Do you have a or two I Hate Winter story? Because
appropriate,
yeah,
they say.
That's the thing. Because I've heard some interesting ones off the air, and I'm just kind of curious to hear your two cents on the I Hate Winter.
So maybe the best one that I have was when I Hate Winter originally started. It started a long time ago, and it's been an ongoing tradition since. But when they played in the arena, Michelle Cox, it's Michelle Hammer now, and the crew of people that played with her, they were the baseline babes. And there was a kid from Moorhead stepping up to shoot a free throw. And apparently the trench coats hadn't been opened yet or anything like that. And this kid was like a 90-plus percent three-point shooter. And from what I understand, when Michelle and the rest opened their coats, his free throw went about 10 feet. Like, he missed the basket, missed the rim, missed it all. Like, he went from being a 90-plus percent free throw shooter to an air ball that was almost embarrassing, yeah, indescribable, kind of like, oh, and he just, and it kind of straight up, straight down kind of a thing. Uh-huh. So that for sure would be a good one. The energy and the atmosphere and the excitement that comes with I Hate Winter, I would put it up against pretty much anything in the, you know, that I can think of in the basketball world anywhere. You know, and Sam Mastin is certainly putting the plug in and taking it to a next level with DJ Rob Moore coming and playing during the games and bumping tunes. You know, we've added hot tubs and, you know, all kinds of craziness. Now they're going to have a little alumni social area where you can go get goodies and stuff down in one of the corners so you can get your different gear with the sunglasses that got your flamingos on it and, you know, all the different kinds of things. But I think maybe for me what's the greatest thing is going through it as a player and knowing the energy that it brings to the floor and then turning around being a coach and feeling that energy in a whole different way, you know. The students are so engaged. I wish we could have I Hate Winter every weekend because the students come out in droves. And I know most of the students aren't listening to the radio, but, man, if you could make every weekend that way, playing in walks is already hard. It would be even that much harder. But what a fun time for the students at Northern and for the student athletes to be part of it. And for those new people, like I've had parents talking about how excited they are to see what this I Hate Winter is about. And certainly Michaela and Izzy are jacked as transfer kids to, you know, to see it because they hear about it when they're playing someplace else. So it's an exciting time.
And we had Sam Aston on, what was it, last week there, two weeks ago, talking
about
it.
Yeah, I heard him on the road. That's how loud it was.
Yeah, he was pretty fired up. He's like, hey, if I have to go to dorm room to hand him a flyer, I will. So he's pretty fired up for it.
That's very Sam Aston-like, and I could see him going from dorm room to dorm room in our residence halls and knocking. I could see that from Sam. That's not surprising at all.
Yeah, I don't think knocking so much as pounding on the doors.
All he would have to do, Sammy, if you're listening, you know you just have to open the door to the floor and open your mouth, and it would be like they would get it.
It's like the Batman symbol.
Yes. Everyone knows Sam Aston's voice. All he would have to do is just open your mouth, Sam, and tell them to get out of there, and they would come running.
They will be there, no doubt about it. Paula Kruger joining us here on FSA, and, you know, the matchup at hand is a very, very good team. You know, they're undefeated in conference play. They don't have Joey Bett anymore, but they have found a way to just reach that next level. Coach TC is outstanding. Defending D2 national champs coming to town, and to be honest, it's probably a good thing for you guys that it is I Hate Winter, because that extra juice certainly helps you out. How do you kind of handicap this one?
You know, they're different than they were last year. Every team right now is different than they were last year. You certainly don't replace a Joey Bett. But, you know, when you've got Natalie Bramer and you've got Destiny Bursch and you've got some of those returners back, people know about the style they play and, you know, how fast they play and the turnovers they try to get you to make. But maybe what people don't pay attention to is they rebound like crazy people. I mean, they – five people to the glass on offense. I mean, they rebound like machines. You know, they can lull you to sleep. Like, if you look at their games, most people play with them for two or three quarters, and then somewhere in there they just – they get you to mess up. Sometimes it's early, and then they're able to hold on. And other times it takes three quarters, and then you get tired, you get fatigued, or whatever it may be, and then, you know, you start to make mistakes. But they're a really good basketball team, and you're not sixth in the country by accident. Different, yes. I believe every team at some point can say that, you know, that maybe you're not the same, or you've got a weakness that you didn't have before, but you pick up another strength. And I really feel like what they lost with Joey Bett, they've picked up, because now it's spread out between more people. You know, with Joey Bett, you tried to key on her and really slow her down and then just kind of hold the rest where you could. And, you know, with Bursch and Bramer and the other people that are putting the ball in the hoop, I feel like now it's a little bit more even keel. There isn't just one person that you know you need to really slow down. Now to me, it's even more team design, and Joey was fantastic at keeping them all together. That's something they probably missed, but they have found a way to stay together right now. And I mean, you're 10-0 in our league. You're doing something right.
And a team like that, right, Coach? You know they're going to go on a run at some point during the game. And I actually mentioned this on the O'Gorman Central broadcast yesterday. You know, O'Gorman, number one team, they've won 35 straight games. Like, you know they're going to go on a run. It's how you kind of respond after a timeout or a TV timeout. Like, there's, I guess, stretches in a game where mm-hmm. you got to fight your way back and put the pressure back on them, right? Is that fair to say?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, when they go on a run, it can be fast and in a hurry, or it could simply be where they stop you five or six times in a row and they only score 50% of that time, but you haven't scored. They've turned you over. They've scored a few times, and it's easy to get on your heels. And I think a key for us is to use their press as an offense instead of thinking, I just want to break it. Now we want to attack it and we want to score within it. And yes, it's a possession game and you have to be smart about what you shoot and when you shoot it. But at the same time, if you pass up the first great shot you have because you're worried about how much time is on the clock, you're going to put yourself in trouble to have a turnover that you don't want to have. And so, you know, we've got our practice guys coming in today and we're going to go against as many different looks as we can with our guys helping us out. And you know, you can't recreate it when you don't run it. It's a different thing. And so it's nice to have our fine young gentleman coming in to help us kind of recreate or create as much mass confusion with defense as we can.
Final one before we get you out of here. We got about a minute and a half left or so with Paula Kruger on FSA. Battling through adversity. Matt talks about that. They're going to go on a run. Felt like you guys really battled through adversity last week against USF for one reason or another. Feels like, and you mentioned this in the postgame show, is this is a more mature team than it was maybe 5-6 years ago. Does playing USF last week maybe help you guys out this week with overcoming adversity in this next matchup?
Yeah, I think it always does. You know, I use the word maturity. I think it's growth. You know, 5 or 6 weeks ago, I don't know if we would have handled those things as well, but we've really tried. Since Christmas especially, you know, we talked about what are the things that we could do, you know, what would make me a better teammate, what would be an advantage to the team, and we talked about, you know, mental toughness and playing through things and having that next play mentality, and it seems to have caught on and they get there. That doesn't mean that we don't have moments where you regress and you go back and that we're perfect. Lord knows I do. I mean, if you've ever watched me coach, my emotional intelligence at times is like this unplugged headset. It's unplugged. And so, you know, asking my team to hold on to theirs, to let me blow mine off is a, you know, it's a unique scenario for them to be in, but I've tried to get them to say, you know, let me do that stuff because I don't want it to affect how you play. Let it just be on me. And they've been very good at that. And they've just been great teammates to each other. And you know, yesterday in practice, we passed up shots to see if we could get the extra pass too many times. And so there's an extremely unselfish group of kids right now.
Head coach Paula Kruger, good luck.
Thank you.
See you this weekend.
I'll be there.
All right, we will too.